that comes before Rosh Hashanah is an indication that our translation of Vayasuru is a very poor translation. The word Vayasuru does not mean to spy. It means to analyze, to uncover the depth of what is really going on behind the scenes. Just like the same mission we have to fulfill an Elul, that is what Moshe was telling Klal Yisrael to fulfill when they came into Eretz Yisrael, to look at the good. Don't just look at the superficial. Further, okay, I'll try to cover some ground. Midbar Tzin, Ad Rechoyv, the cave from the Midbar Tzin. These are places, I have no idea where they are, these places. Ad Rechoyv Chamos, the Rechoyv of Chamos. Rechoyv, I'm sorry, the Rechoyv means the wide area, Levo, that enters, that's towards Chamos. Let's see, Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Chaval, Midbar Tzin, Ad Rechoyv, Levo, Chamos. Mahal Chubi Gulecha, Ba'orech, Vorechav, Kmin Gam. They traveled along the boundary in the length and along the width like a gam. What is a gam? Gam is a Greek letter. It's a Greek letter. There's a big mystery. I mean, there are many interpretations of what the letter gam is. Not for now, but the main thing that we need to take note of is why in the world would the first impression the Jewish people had of the land be done with Greek? Why are they using Yavon? Yavon is not a good guy. And the answer is very obvious. Yaft Elokim, this is a fulfillment of what the bracha of Yaft Elokim Liyafes, the Yishkoin Be'ohol Eshem. The first impression that Klal Yisrael is getting of Eretz Yisrael is being done through Yavon. Yavon, Kimin Gam, the shape, It's a Greek letter, the shape of the Greek letter, whatever that letter is, whether it's a chaf sofis, we call it an chaf, whether it's a dalet, a backwards dalet, there are many interpretations, whatever the letter is, but they're following a pattern that is comparable to something that is famous and popular in this nation. And the nation of Yavon specialized in what? In beauty. Yoifi, beauty. And what they're trying to do, this may be, it could be interpreted as the source of all of their problems. Where did the spies go wrong? The spies went wrong as they were looking for Yoifi. They weren't looking for spirituality. They entered into the land, Rashi says, B'oirach v'roichav k'min gam. Greek, a Greek letter gam. Greek, Yavon. Yavon is all about beauty. It's all about chitzonos. It's all about externals. That's the problem. That is the problem. The problem is they're looking at the land the wrong way. They should be looking for the spirituality, not for the gashmias. And that is why, they failed. And they did not see what they wanted to see. They did not see the good, and that's why they came back and they got into a lot of trouble. Okay, further than Rashi, they went along the boundary of the south. Moshe told them to do that, to go to the south. From the corner of Mizrach, I guess that's Iraq, right? Is that Iraq or is that Saudi Arabia? Quarter? Quarter, am I pronouncing that country correctly? Quarter is along the south east of Eretz Yisrael. Until where? Ad Mitzah Marv, all the way until the Mediterranean. The Mediterranean, I guess, is Egypt. K'moshe Sivim Moshe, Alu Zebenegev, Derech Gvul, the boundary on the south. Sefas, Dremeshel Eretz Yisrael, Luchu, Vuhu Mimibar Tzin. Midbar Tzin is on the east side. Shub b'miktsoya. Droimis mizrochis ad hayom, which is on the west side. Shahayom hu gvul ma'aravi. U'misham chashuv halchu kol gvul ma'aravi. And then they went up the entire coast. They went up the entire Mediterranean. Al sfas hayom. Ad levoy chamos. Levoy chamos means towards chamos. Shuhu etzel hor hor. The north. Rashi seems to show b'miktsoya maravis sefaynis. This is the south, north-south. K'mosh mefarish b'gvulos ha'aretz b'parshas elam ha'aseh. And Rashi here has done us a very great favor. He has taught us the letter Gam. The Greek letter Gam. The what?
Northwest.
Northwest, right. So the,
bonus,
northwest. So what is the shape? What is the shape? There is basically it's the letter L. The letter L. L. The English letter L is.
Gimel. Well, like a gimel.
A gimel?
Yes, like an L.
A gimel is an L? What?
That's a line down and then a C.
Wait a minute. Well,
like this.
No, a gimel is an L? You're confusing me with the facts.
But it's like a lamed also, same thing.
All right, but just for the sake of simplicity now, let's just make it very, very simple. People, simple minds like me, very small minds like me, the letter L, the capital letter L, okay? It goes from the top down, and then you make a sharp 90-degree angle right, and you go straight. That's what Rashi is telling us, how they inspected the land. Not in that order. They first went on the bottom part of the L, from right to left, and then they went up. So when you look at the letter, when you look at their path, their travel path on Google, you know, Google, when you do your, you want to track your, whatever, they have these apps, you can see your how much you've walked in that day, you've traveled. It looked like the letter L. And Rashi tells us this is the Gam. This is the shape of the Greek letter Gam, which is the third Greek letter. Is that what it looks like? I don't know. There are many opinions what that means, whatever it is. This is Rashi. Rashi was telling us exactly what it did. Okay, that's what's on the pasuk. Now we know. Vayalu vayisu es aretz mimidbar tzin. Rashi is teaching us mimidbar tzin is on the southeast of Eretz Yisrael. Ad rechoiv, the wide area, levo, that is towards Hamas, and that is the north, the northwest corner. That's how they traveled in the Gvulos of the land. Moshe indeed told them to do this. It was Kimin Gam. We said this idea. This was where their mistake was. They looked at their travel like from a Greek perspective. Greeks are into beauty, externalities, not into the panemius, and that's where they went wrong. Now let's see the Targum. Targum usaliku. They went up. Ve'alilu. Alilu, we discussed that. Lashon to inspect. Yos ada the land. Mimidbera the tzin. The desert of tzin. Ad rechoiv lemote. This is a very important word. Lvo means towards. Okay, you could, if not for the Targum, you can play around with the word lvo, and you can, who knows what you would say. The Targum tells us the word lvo means mote. Mote means towards. Leaning towards, going to this area, the Rechoiv, in and of itself is worthless. The Rechoiv has no intrinsic value. The entire value of the Rechoiv is only that it is towards an area or a city called Hamas. Pasuk Habeis, Vayalu Vanegev, they went up Vanegev, okay, the south. Didn't we already say that? Well, we have to see. We have to see what this means. One moment, let's first read the Pasuk. Vayavo, and they came at Chevron. Oh, Chevron is where the Moora Samachpela, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sardif, Kerechov, Leah. Visham, and there was Achimon. We have giants. Achimon, Sheshai, Visalmai, Yilidei, Hoanok. They were Yeladim. They were the children of the giant. What is the word giant? We'll see in a moment. The Chevron, the city of Chevron, Sheva, Shanim, Nivnisa. It was built 7 years, Lifnei Tsoan Mitzrayim. The word Tsoan seemingly means a place, a city in Egypt called Tsoan. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Habeis says, Vayivu al ha-chevron, kolev levado holach sham. Rashi says a chiddush. Rashi is telling us something that is shocking, because the Pasuk here is written, B'lashoin Rabim. Well, I take it back. That's Rashi's diuk. That exactly is Rashi's point, because it says first, Vayalu, B'lashon Rabim, it does not say Vayal, it says Vayalu, they ascended Vanegev, and then the Pasuk switches from L'shon Rabim to L'shon Yochid. It does not say Vayavo'u, but it says Vayavo, which indicates that the only one that went there was one person. Who was that one person? Who went there? It was Kalev, one person. Rashi, Kalev levada halacha v'nishtatach al kiryavos. Now this is a very interesting word. He lie down. Okay, Rashi does not throw around words. He lied down. He spread himself out al kivrei avos. Shelo yehi nisos lechaveri. Why? What did he do? He should not be tested. Lachaverov lihiyos ba'atsa sam. Rashi. Every word over here in Rashi is gold. We daven every single day. We say to Hashem, lo lidei nisoyoin, velo lidei vizoyoin. We do not want to be tested. Why not? If you're tested and you overcome the test, you get infinitely more reward than if you were never tested. Why are we praying to Hashem? We don't even want to be tested with nisyonis. Why don't we every single day, you know, have the Yetzer dangle in front of us and we'll overcome the Yetzirah? The answer is because 99% of the time when we're tested, we get an F, we fail. It's not worth it. The statistics are present. The science has proven that it's not a good idea to be tested. Hashem arranges plenty of tests for us. Whatever test we can avoid, better that way. Because after everything is said and done, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He will make sure that we will be tested in other ways. So we pray not to be tested. So here, what did He do at the grave? He didn't ask for Shidduchim, for His children. He didn't ask for Parnasa. He didn't ask for Ruach HaKodesh. It's an amazing thing. You go to a kever, right? People, they go to Eretz, or they go to Meres Machpelah. What do you ask for Meres Machpelah? Ask the average guy, if you can read their minds, about the Meres Machpelah, what are people thinking? 99.9 of them are thinking about Shidduchim. Shidduchim for their children and for the grandchildren. If you could read people's minds, Ni'ilo Yom Kippur in your shul, I'm a scanner. What are they thinking? I need a shidduch for my granddaughter. I need a shidduch for my grandson.
Health.
What?
I would have guessed health.
That also, but shidduch, Rav Hutna used to make the joke, and he would say, Bachim, when they go and they clap al chait, you go, shidduch, shidduch, shidduch. It's no joke, okay? So what you would think, Kalev is going there to the Maris Machpelah. What's he davening for? Unbelievable. And it wasn't like today. Today, anyone who wants to go can go. I mean, now to the Eretz Yisrael, they said Israel to in another month. They're not letting anyone into the country for another month now. New announcement today. But under ordinary circumstances, you can be there within 12 hours. Just go to the airport. You can buy a ticket in the terminal. You can buy a ticket. You'll get on a plane. You'll get there. So one way or another, you'll find a flight, a connecting flight. Go with Turkish Air, okay? Go to Jordan. Go Jordanian Air. You'll get there one way or another. And don't worry, you'll get there safe. You'll be fine. Nothing's gonna happen to you. You'll get there. But in those days, you couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. Who go to Eretz Yisrael? This is not much. And you finally come to the Maris Machpelah. Ooh, what are you going to daven for? Here he comes, an impossible mission. And he davens for what? He davens not to be tested.
Is this the makor for davening at a...
Yeah, two makoros. We spoke about this last year. There are two makoros. Look at my notes. We spoke earlier. There are two makoros for davening by a kever. This pasuk right here. And Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov said to Yosef, don't have complaints against me why I buried your mother on the road. The reason why I buried your mother on the road, I did not even bother to take her into the city, was because the day will come when the Jewish people are going to pass on this road and I want them to daven at your mother's kever, and that will be the only salvation. So in the Torah, there are two sources that teach us there's a benefit to daven at the bones of our ancestors. If not for these two psukim, it would not make one bit of sense why we should daven by a kever. Why? Person dies, it really goes against our belief, a whole yadus, to go to a kever. A person dies, the neshama goes to Hashem. So what's in the ground? Bones? What you go? The tamei, the tameim. It's an avatoma. Avi avoisatoma. What are you doing in the cemetery? Mark, you went to a cemetery today. What are you doing there? It's the avi avoisatoma to go to the cemetery. Why in the world would you want to go to a cemetery? It defies everything that Yadus stands for. The neshama returns to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The bones are tameim. It's absurd. And yet, it's only because we have two psukim in the Torah that tell us das balabayis hepuch midas Torah. You think you understand everything? You think you can come to the conclusion that it should be of no benefit? There are things in this world that you don't know, you don't understand. There's a benefit to going to the kever of a good person and davening. What that means, that's a different discussion. Davening to Hashem in the zuchus of this person. This person should also daven to Hashem on your behalf, whatever it means, but there is a benefit. And this indeed is the Makar. And here it's a very important Rashi. Rashi says, what did he daven for? He didn't daven for Parnasa. He didn't daven for Refuah. He didn't daven for Shaduchim. He didn't daven for Ruach HaKodesh. He davened for one thing, that he should not be tested. When you say in the morning, V'lo lidei nisoyoin, remember this Rashi. Remember, this was the prayer of Kolev, that he was Moser Nefesh to go to Chevron to daven by the Kiryavos. I should not be tested by my Chaverim. Shloye Nisus L'Chaverov L'Yos Ba'atzosam. They should not influence him to go and follow in their evil plan. V'chein hu oimer v'lo etein es aret asher dorach bo. It says that he, in reward for this, he was given, the Kolev was given a special chelik in Eretz Yisrael, because that which he trampled upon. What did he get? Unbelievably, he got Chevron. Because since Kolev, he was Moser Nefesh to go to Chevron, to daven at the Kiryas Avos, when it came time to divide the land, Hashem gave Kolev, you could have the whole Chevron all for yourself. Every single day, you can daven in Chevron by the Ma'aris Machpelah, because you were Moser Nefesh to go daven there, not to be influenced to pray. V'lo lidei nisayon. There's another very important thing in this Rashi. He says that he spread out. V'nishtatach. Did you ever see a person lie down on someone's grave? Did you ever see someone do that? Well, I never saw it, but they do say that the Lubavitch Rebbe did this all the time. On the grave of his father-in-law. When you go to the Oyel, so in the Oyel there are two graves. There is the Rebbe, and next to the Rebbe is the Riatz, is his father-in-law. He was, now in those days there was no fence around. There was just an open area, and he would go there very often. And I don't know. I didn't see this. There must be pictures. I don't know. Maybe there are. Maybe there aren't. But they said that he would actually lie down on the grave of a shver and daven. This Rashi, this Chazal. It says v'nishtatach. V'nishtatach means to spread out, to get down on your hands and knees, to lie down on the grave and pray to Hashem. No one does this. This is not a very good idea. Okay, people don't do this today. No one would do this. It's mechzik yehoira. Who would do this? It's absurd. Anyone to do this? But the truth is, this is the real way to daven on a grave. You don't just go from a distance and shuckle. The real way to daven on the grave is to lie down on the grave. Look at Rashi. V'nishtatach. And what did he pray? Lo lidei nisayon v'lo lidei bezayon. Look how far removed we are from the world of reality. Okay, no one lies down on graves. And no one goes to the grave and says those words of v'lo lidei nisayon. People have very different things are going through their mind when they go to the grave. Weiter, now. In the hole itself, before they cover it. Okay, these are really scary, spooky stuff. Okay, let's go weiter.
Chassidim lie on the mitzvah.
They do lie? Alright, so you tell me they do. Okay, I never seen anyone do this. Doesn't sound to me too endearing. Let's go further. Okay, everyone should mute yourself. Let's go weiter in the further in Rashi. Let's go further. Further is Vayavo. Okay, let's see further in Rashi. Rashi says over here, Shemeshem ibn Sa'ef Shabana Shacham Eschever and Leknan. But the question over here is, now this is a very strange pasuk. The pasuk is telling us the history, the origin of Kever Rachel. It's telling us that Maris Machpelah, the city, that the city, when was the city built? This city was built, Sheva Shanim Nivna, so it was built 7 years before Tzoan Mitzrayim. Now, who was it built for? Chom. We have to go back to the Yichus. The Yichus of Klal Yisrael, we have Noach, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Chom was obviously, Chom was cursed. Okay, was cursed that he would have children that would promote Black Lives Matter. And Chom, he was in the construction business. He built cities. And Chom, Evsha Shabono, Chom is Chevron, and he built, Chom built Chevron, Lekanan, okay, in Yoni Diyoma, Mamish, in Yoni Diyoma. Okay, in Yoni Diyoma over here, he built Lekanan, Benayakot, and Koidem, Sheyivne, Esoyan, Lemitzam yet b'dinay hagadol. It's mamish pasha. Why? Because he was the mayor. That's why. He favored Canaan. He favored the blacks more than he favored Soyan. Look at this. Unbelievable. Everything's in Rashi. Chom had two sons, or many sons. Among his sons, he had a son called Soyan. He had Mitzrayim, who was a person. Mitzrayim was a person. And he had a son called Canaan, and the father was in construction, and he built a city for, and he built the city
four
for
sons.
Four sons. Who are the other two?
Cush, Mitzrayim, Foot, and Canaan.
Foot and Cush. He built Chevron for Canaan, who was the youngest son. Benoy Hakat and Koidem Sheyivne Soyan. Before he built Soyan, the city of Tzon Mitzrayim, Benoy Hagadol. How you talking? You build a city for the younger son before you build it for the older son? Well, if the younger son is black, yeah, you do. Because you don't want him to go burn down the city. You don't want him to kill you. He kneeled. He kneeled before his younger son. That's what happens. No, you see, mamish, unbelievable. Ma'isav asim labanim. Ela shahaya mevune. So Rashi says it can be. Can be. Ze lo yitochein. So what can be? Rashi's telling us it's not a good thing to do. Don't follow in this mahalach. Don't go paint on the floor these nusrois. But what's the MS? The MS is Ella. What happened was, Shahoisa Mivuna, it was, Mivuna means built, Bechol Tuv ad Echod Mishiva B'Tsoyan. It was seven times greater than Tsoyan. There are two cities. We have the city of Tsoyan. We have the city of Tsoyan. And the city of Chevron. And the city of Chevron was seven times better than the city of Tsoyan. Now, you have to remember that he traveled quite a bit. This fellow, Chom, he went to Egypt. Egypt, this is not part of our Holy Land. Egypt. And in Egypt, he built Mitzrayim, the city Mitzrayim. Of course, you have to remember, there are two Mitzrayims. I'm sorry. We're walking with the names. Tsoyan. Tsoyan is in Egypt. And Chevron is obviously in Eretz Yisrael. And he built, of course, he first built a city for his older son in Egypt. He built the city of Tsoyan. And later in life, he built a city for his younger son, Canaan, in Eretz Yisrael, called Chevron. But yet, the city he built in Chevron was seven times better than the city that he built for his older son, Mitzrayim, what he built for him, called Tsoyan. Why? Because that's just the region. That's the way it came out. Seven times better. Now Rashi says the famous Vart, Tsoyan is the best of the best of Egypt. And Chevron is considered to be the lowest, the poorest quality land in the entire Eretz Yisrael. And this pasuk here is telling us is that the lowest quality land in Eretz Yisrael is seven times better the best quality land in Egypt. That's what Rashi is telling us. The pasuk coming to teach us shivcha shel Eretz Yisrael she'ein lecha tirashin be'eretz Yisrael yosha meichav. There's no tirashin, means land that's hard like a rock and it's not fit for agriculture. Then chevron. That is why it's a cemetery. Leficha chiktsua lekivros mason. It's designated for graves. There's no land that's better than in Egypt than like Tzoyan. Shenamar, it says about Tzoyan, Kigan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. It's like the garden of Hashem, like the land of Mitzrayim. Now that was Sodom. Sodom, when he saw the Kikar Hayarden, he saw Sodom, that had those milas. Vitzoyan hi ha-me'ulo shebi eretz Mitzrayim. Shesham moishav ha-molochim shenemar ki hoyu vitzoyan sarav. The Pasuk says that in Tzoyan were the princes, and now the Pasuk is coming to teach you v'choyisach heaven toivam menos shivach halakim. So this Pasuk over here is coming to teach you over here is that they went to the Chevron. This is where Kolev wound up in Chevron, and it was Sheva Shonim Nivnisa. So this is something that doesn't really answer the question. Rashi is not explaining what does it mean, Sheva Shonim Nivnisa? Nivnisa does not mean built. That's what he means. That's the answer. Nivnisa means it was qualitatively superior lifnei Tzoyan Mitzrayim, before the land called Tzoyan Mitzrayim. Rashi is telling us, do not be misled to believe the word Nivnisa means to be built. It means, what was Rashi's word? Rashi says, Mivuna. Mivuna means it was qualitatively superior. It's a cousin of the word Binyan. Now, why is Rashi saying this? Because Rashi, like I told you many times, is not sitting back on the couch and smoking a cigar and writing, dipping his quill into the inkwell and writing Peirush Rashi. Rashi is at war with Unkelus, because Unkelus, you say is bin the ass. You saying it means kodom, before. Unkelus learns the pshat in the pasuk literally that Chevron was built, and I go to the cornerstone of the city, and this city was built in this year. And you go to Tzoyan and you look at the cornerstone of the city. This city was built in this year. You will discover that Chevron was built 7 years before Tzoyan was built. And that's what the Targum says. Can't make any mistake about it. Shevashnin, seven years, Is bin Ni'as was built. Kodom before Tones. Now that's also a curious word. That's the name of the city, Dimitzrayim. Rashi says, no, you got it all wrong. You got it wrong. And when it says here, Nivnisa means qualitatively better. What then does mean Shonim? Well, how does Rashi deal with the word Shonim? Let's go back to the word Rashi. Mivuna b'chol tuv. Times. Shonim does not mean years, according to Rashi. Sheva Shonim means seven. It was Shonim. What is a Shana? When we translate the word Shana, a year, that's not what it means. It's a borrowed term. Shana does not mean a year. Shana means repetition. We've been through this already. Last year we've already gone through Parsha Shelach. This is June. Now is the time when there are a lot of graduations. See, if not for Corona, you'd all probably be at a graduation somewhere tonight, or at a dinner, or at a wedding, or at a Shev Brachos. And because of Corona, so we're all we're sitting here, we're learning. You gotta look at the...
Actually, I'm at a graduation in a parking lot.
The parking lot.
To your share.
Okay. Interesting.
That's where it's gonna start.
But you still... Mazel tov.
Nobody's wearing a mask. He's an old timer wearing a mask.
All right, Mazel Tov in the graduation. It's a big simcha. Really is a big simcha. No question about it. But the word Shana, we're so brainwashed. We think the word Shana means a year. It's not what it means. Shana means to repeat. Every year is just repetition from last year. We've been through this already. We've been on this calendar. We've already been, the earth goes around the sun. We've been in this location relative to the sun and the moon relative to us many times. A year is just another cycle. We borrow the word shana, which means repeat, and we apply it. We make a new concept called year, and we forget that the word shana is not the real word. It just means to repeat. When you look at this pasuk, oh, now we're translating it for real. It's repeated. It was the quality is how much is it? $100. Do it again. Give me another $100. Give me another $100. Another $100. Another $100. Repeat. This is the quality of the land. This is the Nivnisa. The Nivnisa means Nivnisa has, as the way Rashi learns it, also it comes from has a connotation of the qualities that are inherent to its existence. This is the quality. Repeat it again, 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 and do it 7 times. Whatever you got, I have 7 times more. Shana means yes.
But the odds going up.
I can't hear you. I'm losing you. I'm losing your voice. I can't hear. I can't hear. We're losing you.
Okay.
No. Just try to fix the microphone. The article translation? Article.
Yes. 7 years.
7 years. 7 years. So article is violating. If article translates it 7 years, they are in violation of their own rule. Because article, the very first page of the article Chumash, they write that we're unique. We are putting out a new Chumash. No one ever did this before. Everyone until now translated the Psukim Lefi Unkelus. We are going to translate the Pasuk like Rashi. And they do that. Who says that's such a good idea? But that's what they did. And here, if you're telling me they're translating it like Unkelus, 7 years, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi clearly says that it was qualitatively better than the land of Tsoyan by 7 times. Shanim is the plural of shana, repetition. Repeat the quality again and again and again and again. We're not dealing with years. Rashi clearly rejects the years because a father would never build a city for his younger son before he would build a city for his older son. That doesn't happen. So it has to mean, the shana means repetition. And when it says nivnis, so it does not mean to be built. It means the qualities, the characteristics that make up the structure, the existence, the whatever, the mass of what we're dealing with. Those qualities were repeated seven times more than in something else that you'll find somewhere else. This is Rashi versus Unkelus. There's a war here between the two. And how to translate these words. Obviously, Unkelus says, no, Amol, sometimes you have to build a city for the younger son before you build a city for the older son. Pokazi ma'ama devar. Sometimes you have to kneel. You don't have a choice. Isn't it? I'm not making this up. You can't make this stuff up. Over. You can't. Look what it says. He built for Kenan. You know what Kenan? Kenan is Eved Avodim. Okay, it says, so how you explain this?
Well, okay. That's why the Amar Ben El says very simply that the reason that why are we given this information, it doesn't seem to be any point to this information.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's introduced the fact that the Lidei who are not lived there, because they are from way back, these ones in the field are left over.
Very interesting.
Left over from the beginning of time, and that was a city that was way, way back.
It's fascinating.
And that's why they lived in Hebron.
They cherished it.
In other words, we're being introduced to Hebron because Bnei Anok lived there still, and that was from...
It's very fascinating.
They lived from time immemorial before Noah.
So you're saying that according to the Abar Ben El is going like the Targum. We're dealing with the date of the city. Who cares? Torah is not a history book.
He says otherwise, why does it have
exactly
to be because Bnei Anok lived there.
Right, so
this
that's being...
That's so old. I mean, they lived in a place from some place that existed prehistorically.
And they had longevity. The Bnei Anok had longevity.
Made it through the flood?
Something like that. whatever.
These were descendants of the
cities, right? So therefore it's related directly. According to the Barbanel, we're dealing with the historical account of when it was established, and it relates directly to the giants. Because the giants, it made a big difference. The dates, it was relevant for them. For us, we couldn't care less when Brooklyn was built. It doesn't make a difference to us. But if you were here when Brooklyn was established, then everything makes a big difference. You know, you walk down the street, rip up the concrete. Do you know who stepped on the concrete? Christopher Columbus. You can't go rip up the concrete over here. You know, Zayda stood here. It's relevant. It becomes very relevant if these, the Bnei Anakim, this is where they came from. Now we have an appreciation. It doesn't answer the question entirely, but it definitely opens up a whole new appreciation of why we're discussing the exact dates. Okay, let's do a little bit more. Next, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk Chav Gimel Vayavo Anachal Eshchol. Now notice it's B'loshen Rabin. We go back to Loshen Rabin. They went Nachal Eshchol, the Nachal of the cluster. What a funny place. Whoever hear a place called the Nachal Eshchol? The valley of the cluster, Vayichrisu, and they cut. They, B'loshen Rabin, Misham Zimayro, a vine. You allowed to cut a vine? How you allowed to do that? Baltashchis. Not to cut down a vine. You can take off the grape from the vine, but you can't cut down the vine. How you allowed to do that? Okay, Vayichrisu, Misham, they cut from there, Zimayro, vine. The Eshkol Anav Mecha, they took one cluster, Vayisouhu, Vamoit. That's a really good vocabulary word. On a pole. Targum says va'aricho. We have to figure out what that word means. I don't even know what the word. It must mean a pole. Bishnoyim. Bishnoyim means two. We'll see what that means. Rashi explains. Two people carried it together. Each one on the back and one on the front. We'll see. Umin hori moinim, umin hata'enim. Three different items were taken. They took grapes, a cluster of grapes. They took pomegranates and they took figs to Einim. Three items. Rashi, Pasuk of Gimel, Zimayra, Shoichas Gefen. The word Shoichas means a branch. A branch, okay, that's a word you have in Tanakh pretty often. A Shoicha. Here it's Smichus, Shoichas Gefen. So in the Smichus form we have a soft Shoichas Gefen, a vine. Okay, what we in English call a vine. The Eshkol Shel Anavim Tolibo, and the cluster was dangling from it. So Rashi learns, don't make a mistake. This could very well be, right, we'll have to see the Targum if he disagrees. Rashi says, don't make a mistake and think that they took two separate things. You can easily learn they took a vine, period, and then they took also separately a cluster of grapes. No. They came, Vayichus Mishom Zimayra, and the Eshkol Anav Echod was still dangling from that vine. Let's go further. Vayisu Vamoid Bishnoyim. What does it mean? Mimash Moshnema Vayisu Uhu B'Lashon Rabim. Of course there were two people. So what then does it mean over here when it says Eini Yodei Ashu Bishnoyim? Of course there were two people. So Ma'ay Tamalema Bishnoyim. What does it mean, two people? Bishnei Moita. It's two poles. So it says Vayisu They Vamoit with a pole, Bishnoyim. So Rashi is telling us an incredible translation, is that the word Shnoyim is coming to modify the word mot. There wasn't one mot, there were two motos. It's a very sophisticated usage of the language. You have a mot, is be'etzem b'lashon yochid, but you can make a word that's yochid into a rabim by adding another word. That's an incredible lesson in grammar. In English, it doesn't go like, I don't think you have to study languages. Do you have such a principle? You take a word that should really be in the plural, motos. And now we're going to, no, mot. But it still means two, because we're going to add another word, bishnoyim. The word bishnoyim means two motos. Okay, how ketzat? Shemoyin enolu eshkol. Eight people took this one cluster. Okay, eight people. So we have over here, so each pole needs... Each pole needs he's saying basically four. Okay? Vayisu'uhu, they took it, B'loshon Rabim, Vamot, Bishnoyim. One more time, we go to the Rashi. Any day, Shul Bishnoyim, 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 Motos. Okay, there are two motos. Okay, Tzad. Shmoina, Notlu, Eshkol. Eight people. Why do you need eight people? Why, if you have two motos, and each mote has two ends, so you only need four people, right? Let's go further. Echon natal teina. Then one took one a fig. Echon rimoin. Yeshua, that's total of 10. Yeshua v'cholev loy melu klum. Why lefi shekol atzmam lohitzi dibo nischavnu? The only intent to take the fruits back home was to complain. Therefore, kevon kishem shepirya mishune, just like the fruit was gigantic, it's not normal. Kach ama mishune, the people are gigantic, they're not normal, and there is no way in the world we can conquer this. V'yim chofetzata leida akama masoy echon mehem, you want to know how much each one weighed? Tsei ulamad me'avonim sheikimu b'gilgal, look at the stones that they established in Gilgal. When they entered into the land, they put up big stones. Hey, rimulohem, it says here in the pasuk, each man, even achas min hayard in al shichmoy. They were very, very powerful people, our ancestors. Mighty people. Each one was able to carry on his shoulder a massive boulder. If they were so strong, each man can carry a massive boulder, so what's the big deal to take a cluster of grapes? Yet you need 8 people to carry one cluster of grapes? Can you imagine how big this must have been? These people were gigantic. The Jews were very strong. They can take a boulder. And they couldn't take a boulder. They needed 8 people. They kimua b'Gilgal. They put up the stones in Gilgal. Ushakolum Rabbah saying, Mishkol achas harbom so. And by the way, Chazal later on in later generations, they had access to these stones that were carried out of the yard on the shoulder of people, and each one weighed 40 saw. Now, I don't know exactly how big that is, but it sounds like massive. And each one was able to do this by himself. Ugemiri to una demidle inash al kesefa ena lashlish nimasoy. Now they carry on their shoulder. Whatever weight you carry on top of your shoulder is only a third of what you can carry if you dangle it on a pole with 2 people. So if they were able to carry, let's say there was a hundred, if you're able to put on your shoulder 100 pounds, that means that if you don't put it on your shoulder and you carry it a third on the technique, you're able to take 300 pounds. So it's much more difficult to carry something on your shoulder. If you're able to carry yourself on your shoulder when it's 100 pounds, that means if you don't take it on your shoulder but you would take it on a pole, then each person will be able to carry triple. I think that's what it means over here, 300. So that means this fruit that they were taking must have been massive. Massive. Called to una any burden, the midlay inish al kaste, ena ela shalish, a third masoi of a burden, mi masoi from a burden, shemisai in oisoi leharim, from a burden that you helped learn to lift up. That you help someone else lift up. If someone is helping you, then you can carry triple of what you carry on your own. That's a very interesting general mussarvart. To carry, if a person is all alone in a tzara, person living in a very dark world, and he's dealing with a tzara, he will collapse even if the tzara is light. But if imoy onoichi b'tzara, if someone is together with him, he has friends, and are mishtatef in his burden, then he's able to bear the difficulty even triple. Even if Rachmana Litzlana would have been triple, he would be able to bear it. Because that's the reality. The reality is Rashi is telling us that you saw it in physics. If you are all alone and you only can carry 100 pounds, if someone was helping you, then between the two of you, you can carry 600 pounds, 300 apiece. And when a person, Rachmana Litzlan, has a tzara, he can be crushed even by a small tzara. But if someone is together with him, then together they can bear even a much greater tzara. Okay, there's a lot of depth in this Rashi. We don't have time. We'll do Targum in 1 second because we're out of time. The Targum here says, let's pick up some points in the Targum very quickly. V'asoy ad nachla the Askola, to the valley of Askol. Name of a place. The Kotsamitamon Ovaruta. I don't know what that word means. It seems like it means a twig. The Askol in Vin Echad. And a cluster of grapes. Is the Targum disagreeing with Rashi? I don't know. Is the Targum saying that they took two separate items? Maybe. Then it says Unitoluhi b'aricha, and then they took it on a pole bisrain. He doesn't really explain two or minri monaya minta enaya from the pomegranates and from the. I don't know the answer why there were eight people. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Why were there eight people carrying on two poles? Unless you want to, yeah.
No, I don't know.
Maybe it means there were four poles. I vaguely remember there are pictures that try to illustrate what exactly is going on here in the Rashi. I don't know exactly.
They carry the cluster of grapes on a bed of poles. Two poles from north to south, and another two supporting poles.
Okay, so you want to say there were four poles.
Four poles.
And eight people.
To carry them.
Okay, so he's saying the word b'shnoyim. You're doing over here is you're doing multiplication. It says vayisouhu b'lashon rabim, and then it says b'shnoyim two. Two times two is four. You're playing around here with the words. There's some sophisticated usage of the words which indicate there were really four poles.
Well, all the midrashim say that there were eight people to carry, and
so that means there were four poles.
Yeah, and Kalev and Yoshua
nothing
refused to carry. And then there's the Alkut says that Yoshua and Kalev did carry.
Okay, all right. According to Rashi, there are many, many opinions. But according to Rashi, we're doing some sophisticated usage. Peloshon Rambam Yisu Bishnoyim two. So two multiplied by two, something along the sub. You have to be very, very, very creative. Total of four poles. Four poles, two apiece on each side. Eight people. Yeah, and then the other two, one took the pomegranate, one took the fig, total of 10, and Yeshua Kolev, and that's how we have. Okay, we'll stop over here. Thank you for joining me. Mirat Hashem, tomorrow, 9:30, Blue Nether.
Thank you. Very quickly, there's a very cute gra on the spelling of Eshkol. It says, Vayomo, Anakal Eshkol is spelled Chaser, and then when it's